This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Tape 10B of the Sunday evening service of December the 28th, 1986. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the balance of Charles Trombley's message of the evening.
Joel 3:1 says, when I return again the captor to your Judah and Jerusalem, the place and the people, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. If you're aware of the Balfour Declaration around World War I, it was contemporary with the outpouring of the spirit on Azusa Street. 1947-48, Israel became a nation. What happened? Pentecostals, some men, got so hungry for God, they fasted and prayed and prayed and fasted. And you know the results of that. Every major missionary program today came out of that, from Billy Graham to Oral Roberts. The gifts were restored. They began to eat the word. They said, it's not been passed away. It's good for today. When the apostles died and those on whom the apostles laid their hands, God did not renew and retook away. They're still here. And God restored power evangelism. 20 years later, in 1967, the whole church began to get a hold of the word. And I was in South Bend, Indiana, when Jesus started working among the Catholics there. I was at Duquesne. I was there. I fought it. I did all I could to get it out and stop it, until God had to get my own bitterness out of my heart. And I said, God, if you want to baptize them with the Holy Ghost, it's your business. Just let them walk in the word. Amen. And that's where we are now. Problem is, the charismatic renewal has been dead, flat dead, since 1977. The last time anything moved was in Kansas City, 76,000. I was there. And that's when all the churches decided to set up their charismatic communions. And the walls went back up. The sprinklers there, the dippers there, the pourers there, the liturgicals over here, the conditional securities over here, the unconditional securities, and everyone just a fussing and I'm right, you're wrong. And God said, you're all wrong. Bye. And there went the spirit. You can have right doctrine in wrong spirit. Amen. One of the works of the flesh in Galatians 5 is the word heresy. In the Greek, it means to cause confusion. If I were to go into a Jesus-only church and brother just lay out Trinitarian baptism, I'm telling the truth, but I'm deliberately creating confusion by it, and I know it, and that's a work of the flesh. Are you hearing me? You can't do it. You've got to truth it in love. Now, where are we now? There's only one thing left. The golden altar of incense. And do you know where Paul says it is in Hebrews 9? It's not in the outer court. It's in the sanctuary. It's in the Holy of Holies. That's got commentators bugged and confused. They said he must have made a mistake. The Holy Spirit doesn't inspire mistakes. I'll tell you what happened. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was split and opened up. And hallelujah, the only way you can get into God's presence is to become a worshiper, to become a worshiper, to become a worshiper, to become a worshiper. Not to follow tradition, to be a worshiper. You can sing in the spirit in tradition. You can sing choruses in tradition. You can sing in songs traditionally. Your heart has got to have a cry. I want God more than a heart wants a heart. But I want God.
Yeah. Amen.
I've come to the place I said, God, I don't care if you ever do a thing for me again. I want you, not what you can do for me. And that's the difference. Prayer asks God for things. That was Cain. Praise, thanks God for the things. But worship says, I want you.
Amen.
Now, ooh, he's going to go into the sanctuary. All right, now, verse 10. But the Levites who went far from me, when Israel went astray from me after their idols, human, man-made creations. Remember the last church I passed, we had 182 voices in the sanctuary choir. It was a good choir. We started our Christmas cantata at Labor Day. One year we didn't have a good bass. We hired Big John Hall. Good bass. Tenors weren't high enough. We got some fruits. People came and said, I want to sing the choir. Music minister gave him a voice. Listen, not many made it. They had a lot of music in them. It just wouldn't come out. And then they had to learn not to speak their hisses and pop their piece, because it disturbs the recording. It was beautiful, but Brother Glenn, God spoke to me.
You don't know that.
Lord said, we did it for you. Lord says, I wasn't even there. I said, you inhabit the praises of your people. He said, you didn't do it for me. You did it for yourselves. You were so concerned about the crowd coming in to see your cantata. Ready to jump the choir. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the choir. I've seen Holy Ghost choirs where they fell out in the Holy Ghost, where they fell out in the Spirit when the glory came down. There's nothing wrong with music. There's nothing wrong with this. It's your attitude that God will sanctify it. Idols. Churches. Big idols. Are you young men say, gotta watch my ministry? I said, you better, because it's yours. But it's a career. That's right. Goodbye. Now notice what God said in verse 11. Now we're getting down here, and I hurry up. Yet they, these Levites, shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having oversight at the gates of the house and ministering in the house. They shall slaughter the burnt offering and the sacrifice. Underline this if you write in your Bible, for the people. And they shall stand before them, the people, to minister to them, the people. Because they ministered to them before their idols and became a stumbling block of iniquity to the house of Israel. Therefore I have sworn against them, they shall bear the punishment for their iniquity. They shall come not near to me to serve me as a priest. I'll tell you, if God told me that, I'd say, God, somehow annihilate me, blot me out of your memory, and don't ever let me moment live. They minister to the people. Church, if you're going to be a minister of God, you better get your eyes off people. Now, that does not mean you become a spiritual nincompoop and a spiritual bore. I'm going to do my own thing, because God will get you for that. People are saying, we would see Jesus. One of the most humbling things that happened to me, back in the days when they had the big tent in the trucks. And then it was there when I was doing weekly television and daily radio. And you know, sometimes you think it's you and you rebuke it. Other times you know it's God. The Lord says, son, don't get important. The only reason you're in the ministry is I can't find Balaam's jackass. Are you lying, devil? But it was the truth. If God could use a donkey, he can use you. That'll take the pride out of you. Now, they minister to the people. Church, if you're going to serve God, you can't go into the sanctuary if you've got the eyes and the people. How many times we come to church? How many are going to need tonight? Let's stop it. We don't come to meet your needs. We come to bless and worship the Lord, and the overflow will meet your needs. We're going to see miracles by accident, healings by accident in a greater capacity than we've ever seen before. But it won't be because you're in a healing line. It won't be because we've got catchers. If you get slain in the spirit, you don't need a catcher. If it's God, you won't get hurt. And if it's not God, you ought to get hurt. The people, everything in America is for the people. Got to keep our image. God says, go ahead. You can minister. What are you going to do? Offer the sacrifice, you can preach the cross. You can preach the gospel of the cross. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And it'll work. God's grace will still lead people. But he says, you're not going to come into my sanctuary. Go through the motion, but you won't have the emotion. Do you see it? Now, let's hurry on and find out who can come into the sanctuary. Verse 15, but the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the sons of Israel went astray, they shall come near to minister to me. They shall stand before me to offer the fat and the blood. Now notice what they're doing. They're standing in God's presence with the fat in one hand and the blood in the other. Scripture is emphatic about these types. The blood is the cross. The fat is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. That's all you can do for God, is the blood of Christ and the Spirit of the Lord. Notice what else he says. Verse 16, they shall enter my table, they shall come near to my table to minister to me and keep my charge. Revelation 8 will show you that the table of the Lord is an altar with fire. You want to know the very next thing that's getting ready to happen on earth? Well, hold your finger there and go with me to Revelation 8. I'm not supposed to do this because I'm shooting a squirrel out of the tree by shooting the whole tree. Revelation 8, we're at this stage right now. He broke the seventh seal. We're right about there, aren't we? There was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. You say, what's that? That's the time when the prophecy teachers correct their charts. A moment of embarrassment. Verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, this table, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him. Worship. I'm not making these up. These are scriptural types used time and time again. This incense was given to this angel, mixed with the fire from the altar, that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. How many of you have prayed prayers that have not been answered? How many of you prayed prayers so long ago they didn't even get answered, you forgot you prayed them? I got news for you. They're not forgotten. They're not forgotten. They're bottled up in a vial in heaven. How many of us have prayed, my God, bring America to its knees. Restore this nation. How often I prayed, God, save Madeline Murray O'Hare. Save Tip O'Neill. My God, do something for Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. Nothing's happened. But it's going to. The angel took the incense, that's the worship of heaven, mixed it with the fire from the coal, and mixed it with our prayers, and what did he do with it? Verse 5, he threw it to the earth. Why is he throwing my prayers back down here? That's the answer. Huh? My prayers, my praise, mixed with the worship of heaven, is going to hit planet earth. And the result is going to be thunder, peals of lightning, flashes of fire. Ezekiel 1 will tell you, when those four living creatures are saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is and ever shall be, when John heard it in Revelation 19, mighty peals of fire and thunders, he says it sounds like the voice of the Almighty. God has his way of getting the attention of the nations of the world. Hallelujah. Yeah. You say, well, Trombley, how's that going to fit? Let's go back to Ezekiel and don't let me forget. Finish up with Revelation 19, okay? Because I'm just on my first point on my notes. Abel worshiped by faith. Violent faith. Strong faith. Everyone's against you, but you're going to do right. Paul said, according to the way you call heresy, I worship the God of my fathers. Today, charismatics. Up down their self-righteous nose at old-fashioned Pentecostals. Some of them functionally illiterate. Can hardly read and write. Think the King James Bible was the one Jesus used. But I'll tell you what. Those people had something. Sure, they did some stupid things like playing with snakes in Virginia and trying to walk on water. How many of you ever tried to walk on water? What's wrong with you? I did. It didn't work, but I tried it anyways. You didn't even try it. But those folks prayed, fasted. They knew how to touch God. They had miracles and signs and wonders. And when they came to church, the Baptists and Methodists had garbage for them. I guess that's why they didn't have garbage service back then. They dumped it in a local Pentecostal church. Now, wave air conditioning. People don't even know we're in town, let alone get mad. Most exciting thing we had was someone say, Bethabashenda. You know what we're going to have? We're going to have what we have in Africa. I had done some 48 major city revivals in Sweden. We got a letter from an old man by the name of H.H. Hutton Matamba. He pioneered Jehovah's Witnesses in Africa since 1918. But he got saved. 78 years old. It cost me $5 more to fly from Stockholm all the way through Africa to go to Malawi. I never heard of the place. I landed. I can give you all kind of pictures, but I can't capture the smells. It was different. I was exhausted, jet stream. They took me out to a little village, Kamuyumba village, in Luchenche district. Big trees. The men sat on the ground in the shade. The women sat over here in the sun, no place for them. Boy, I broke that thing up fast. They had made a platform for me out of bamboo. I weighed 200 plus pounds. Those little guys soaking wet weigh 110. I mean, that thing was just a shaking. And to cover it, he had gone into town and picked up a whole bunch of photo offset, those aluminum print things I have, you know, and covered it. I had a suntan within 5 minutes. It was embarrassing, Brother Glenn. As close as my wife is, I'm standing looking down. The woman has two babies. Pulls her blouse off. She's about a 40D. And starts nursing the babies. That's it. How can you get your mind on that? I mean, pray in tongues all you want. We did the best we could. It's a different culture. We decided to pray for the sick. We do that when you can't do anything else. The first person in line was a leper. Claw, hands, joints gone. Stink out of this world. The pigment in her skin was as white as snow in spots. She was so demon-possessed that you didn't have to ask what it was. You didn't have to guess it. Brother, they talk to you. My wife will verify she's been with me time and time again. They'll talk to you. That thing hissed, barked, threatened me. Nothing happened. But they're desperate. You know how you can always tell a preacher's desperate? When he says, "For thy glory, Lord." He said, "Get me out of this and I won't do it again." Well, I knew nothing of these people. So it's time for me to get in the spirit. Boy, I grabbed her in Jesus' name and started praying in tongues. And my interpreter was about 60 years old, a pretty good-sized man. Front tooth was missing. His eyes had no white. There was a yellowish brown. And the sweat flinging. And I started praying in tongues. And all over the world, I can tell, get the Holy Ghost. By the way you say, Baba Vashanda. I started praying in tongues. I could still see. Kalop was, he stopped back and looked, and his eyes got big. He got a stupid grin and started speaking in tongues. That's the first man we found in Africa filled with the Spirit. Took about 10 minutes to get that woman delivered. But quickly, they came out. They didn't throw up. They screamed. Ah! I scare the liver out of you. And just that quick jumped in a man over there. People are running. They're getting scared. They wonder what's going on. I went over and I said, "That's enough. You came out by authority. Leave. God wants you in His sanctuary. And you're going to have to do it by faith. And sometimes it gets violent. The kingdom suffers violent. The violent take it to force." Now, let me tell you just a little bit about these people that are going into the sanctuary. Oh, verse 17. Says they shall be clothed with linen garments, no wool, nothing that causes sweat. You know what this means? You are not going to work this one up. You can work up a meeting, you can shout and stomp and holler and have an emotional commotion. There's nothing wrong with it. I'll do it with the best of you. Bodily exercise profits a little pulse. Nothing wrong with a Pentecostal two-step. Hallelujah. But God says you're not going to work this thing up to come into my presence. There's going to be no flesh like Cain engineering this. You're not going to wear anything that causes sweat. Why? You're going to stand there. He goes on. Verse 19. When they go back out, they're going to take this off so that they won't transmit their holiness to the people. There's something else. This is done behind the veil. The people cannot see what's going on in the secrecy of your fellowship with God. I'll tell you something else. It's just you and God. No one else can go behind that veil with you. It's you and the Lord. It's easy to talk about this. It's another thing to get a hold of you and say you're going to do it. He goes on. He says this in verse 20. They shall not shave their heads, yet they'll not let their locks grow long. They shall only trim the hair of the heads. I said, God, what do you want? Long hair, short hair? Lord says, they're not going to follow the styles, the attitudes, or the opinions of the world. You'll not look like the world, but you're not going to look weird either. I've known Christians that wanted to be so different from the world, the moment you look at them, you can tell they're different. Mennonites take the buttons off the coats, won't wear neckties. Are you following me? God says don't shave your heads, but don't let your hair grow long. In other words, fit in. Don't be obnoxious and don't stand out because you don't count. It's you want to get yourself willing to control, this is the place to start right here. Okay? Then he goes on. Neither shall any of the priests drink wine when they enter the inner court. Now, you see, got to be careful. I don't believe in using wine, but they did. It was not grape juice. Mr. Welch had not yet learned how to pasteurize it. It was wine and it fermented, but it was mixed with water. Passover wine was three parts water to one part wine. I suppose you could get drunk if you got sick. Proverbs mentions don't mix it, so on and so forth. But God says, I don't want my priests drinking any wine when they come back. Why? Hear me, church. He not only said you're not going to do it, then it causes sweat. You're not going to help God out. But anything that's hallucinogenic, working it up, psychology, psychological, hypnotic, it's out. God says, I want you clear-headed. Perfectly clear-headed. Because how many of you know, if you're like me, your biggest problem in seeking God is to get your mind quiet enough, long enough to get in touch with. How many can raise your hands and say amen to that?
Amen.
And if you say you don't have that kind of a problem, you ain't taken up solve, but you already lied. My problem's my head.
Amen.
My carnal mind. I wish to God I could cast it out, but I gotta live with it.
Right.
God says, if I just take it away from you, you're a babe in a diaper, absolute jellyfish. He said, I want you to learn how to master and control that thing. You see, the soul is your mind. It's your self-consciousness. God says, I want it clear, clear. And I think today, they didn't have tobacco then. I think we go today. Caffeine and nicotine will screw up your head. Don't look at me like a calf at a new fence gate. You go get some of this soda pop out here, Dr. Pepper and Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola with all that caffeine. Do you know there's as much caffeine in a 10-ounce bottle of Pepsi-Cola as a doctor would use to give about 150 milligrams of caffeine? And that's what a doctor would give you if he was in a state of shock from an accident? God says, I want you clear-headed. I think there's something else involved. We could stretch this a little bit. People come to me all the time and say, I'm confused. I hear so many voices. I turn on the radio and I hear 10 Gospels. I turn on television. I'm confused. Demons. No demons. Some demons. Half a demon. Rapture. Rapture. Preacher. Don't go to tribulation. Don't eat fish worm. They're confused. How can you see God? And you know my answer is, stop listening to people.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you how I operate. I don't pay attention to what anyone says that better be in the book. I have been deceived by the best Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, they're masters. So who do you think you are? When someone explains the Bible, I say, give me scripture. If it's not there, I say, keep it. It's your doctrine. Tell what it is. So I don't get confused. I get stubborn. Are you there? God says, I want, you can't see God if you don't know whether you should. Okay, let's go on. Something else here. Uh-oh, verse 22. They shall not marry a widow or a divorced woman, but shall take virgins from the offspring of the house of Israel, or a widow who is the widow of a priest. What's he saying? You can't have a messed up family relationship and enter the sanctuary. Why? Paul said it. You got trouble at home. Listen, young folks. It ain't worth it. I know how hard it is with young girls in most churches. There just aren't enough good-looking young guys to go around. But it's not worth it. Just for the sake of getting married. Guys, don't rush it. Marriage is a checkbook. that has to be balanced. Dirty barbers, dirty dishes, mother-in-laws, problems. Those are responsibilities. You better have more than emotion. God says, a divorced woman? A priest? Why marry someone else's mistake? Causes trouble. Am I against divorce? No, I've never been divorced. Been living with the same woman 34, 5 years. I got married with this attitude, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. And as a Vermont country boy, I gave her my word. I meant it. I said it in front of people. And I said, if it doesn't work, I won't quit. I'll live with you and make your life miserable. Someone asked Bob Jones after on his 64th wedding anniversary, had he ever considered divorcing his wife? He said, of course not. I'm a Christian gentleman. Never considered divorce, but I've considered strangling many times. You can be forgiven for murder, but divorce is a hard problem. Let's go on. What is God saying? I think you can sum this up as one word. Commitment. Say commitment.
Commitment.
Commitment. Commitment. Commitment. They're going to teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, between Cain's religion and Abel's religion, between that which has the form of godliness but denies the power thereof. And let me close this off by saying a good part in verse 28. God said, when it comes to dividing up the land, they don't get the dirt. I am their inheritance. They shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the burnt offering. All the sacrifices you've given to God, He's going to give it back to you. Now, how many of you would like to have Abraham's blessing? How many of you would rather have Abraham's blesser? How many of you would like an inheritance, a mansion, a harp, and a crown? How many of you would like to receive God Himself as the inheritance?
Amen.
Don't give me a loan. Give me the bank. Do you see what He's saying? These are the people that are going to come into my sanctuary. What is God saying? If you want to be my people, you can. Obedience. Faith is obedience. It's trust. It's confidence so much you believe it. Now, turn with me to Revelation 19. I'll open the scripture, and then we'll close for this time. Are you getting anything out of this, or am I just having fun?
Amen.
Wouldn't you think that after God told the sons of Zadok they could have this, they turned out to be that liberal, intellectual bunch of ruling aristocrats called the Sadducees? And in Bible college, we used to say that's why they were so sad, you see. They didn't believe in life after death, or spirits, or resurrection. They're sad. America doesn't believe in it. That's why they've got psychiatrists and psychologists, drugs and dope and sex and AIDS and herpes. I'd rather have Jesus.
Amen.
Revelation 19. This whole chapter will give you a preview of heaven when we get there. It is exciting. But let's go to verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His bride hath made herself ready. I've heard this preached on. I've done it. That's when women stop using lipstick, lose weight, shape up, or ship out. That's not the context. Revelation 19 is a context. We're going to stand in the presence of the holy God of the universe, giving Him worship and praise. The bride has made herself ready to be a worshiper. I believe it's very soon. This is humorous, but the Lord already took Colonel Sanders up to get chicken ready. How many of you know the marriage supper is going to be noisy? I once heard Bob Mumford say there'll likely be 9 tables 6,000 miles long. And he's liable to look down there and see some Presbyterian preacher. Hey, Jim, you made it! Praise God! And someone will be hollering that I'm there. Yeah. Now, verse 8, it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. That's not something you do. Holiness is not what you do, it's what you are. Christ has made a new wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Out of the abundance of the heart proceed the issues of life. There are many folks that don't smoke, but they'd like to. They don't drink, but they'd like to. Huh? There are many folks that never kill anybody. They just use their foul, filthy Christian mouth. Boy, he's off the wall. You got it, babe. You're in trouble. Huh? Are you hearing me? I once heard Brother Hagin say about faith. You know, someone said he wrote Mark 11:24 and put it in the Bible. But one day he's preaching on Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive. And he says, well, now, bless God. You suppose that's why the full gospel folks prefer to pray kneeling down? And the Trinitarians aren't going to forgive the one this way. And the Pentecostals aren't going to let the Baptists go to heaven. They believe in eternal security. They're the greatest soul winners we've got. Brother, you got to reckon with Billy Graham. You know why I can talk like this? I've been there. When I came out of Jehovah's Witnesses, I was saved and filled with the Spirit. My doctrine was as screwed up as anyone could be. And I had more miracles than most folks on accident, most folks have on purpose. I mean, I've seen women shrink 6 inches. Totally blind people, born blind, see instantly. We were in deliverance before anyone knew what it was. I never heard of such a thing. All I know is demons screamed and cried and came out. And people in insane asylums were set free. And my doctrine was all messed up. Took time to learn. Aren't you glad for the patience of God? And I'm still learning. I believe things today I didn't believe 10 years ago. And if Jesus tarries 20 years down the road, I don't know what I'll be like. But it'll be great. Here's what I want. John had gone through this tremendous thing in the book of Revelation. That's enough to cause you awesome wonder. And so in verse 10, he said, I fell at his feet to worship him. And this angel said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Said this angel, said, don't worship me. Don't worship me. No matter how great my power, don't worship me. Worship who? God. For God. Greek. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let me close this for you by this to show you where we're coming from. We have wanted, number one, the Spirit of God. Number two, the gifts of the Spirit. And somewhere down the road, God. The church is just now learning to worship. We have been selfish, self-centered. Our brother used the word last night, and I said the same thing. Much of what is Christianity today is humanism wrapped up in the stripes of Jesus. I am the center of my universe. That's humanism. God exists for my purpose. Bless me. Heal me. Prosper me. Make me rich without responsibility or worry. Gimme, gimme, gimme. But it doesn't work. It's humanism wrapped up in the stripes of Jesus. This whole thing is wrong. The angel said, number one, worship God the Father because, number two, the manifest presence, the testimony of Jesus in a time-space world, Jesus Christ the Son, will come in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. The world is crying, show us Jesus. They're not as anti-God as you think they are out there. They want reality. They're tired of the church. They're tired of religion. They're tired of games we play. Huh? We think it's real, but they see nothing and they hear nothing and their needs are not met. They're not anti-God. They're saying, if there is a God, show me. The young people of America are saying, show me. The drug addict is saying, don't condemn me, deliver me. The alcoholic is saying, don't crush me, deliver me. Hear me, church, I'll probably get in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. America does not need a constitutional amendment outlawing abortion. It needs a revival so men and women will accept their responsibility and raise children for God. America does not need an amendment outlawing homosexuals. They don't need talk. They need the devil cast out of them. Not psychological game. Not moral philosophy. They need deliverance. You say, how will I know? When they fall in love with a girl. Tell them they're not delivered. That's the only cure for herpes and AIDS. God says you can have it. Worship God. And it will produce an atmosphere in which Jesus Christ, the head in and through his people, by the power of His Spirit will do it. Revelation 11 is the second coming of Christ. The Apocalypse, the Urchomite, the Parousia, it's all wrapped up in that one verse. Huh? That's what I said, verse 11. The verse right before that, worship God. What have we been talking about? Jesus wants a people that will pray. Half of prayer is praise. And don't faint. Don't quit. Press the battle. We're in a warfare. But we already know the outcome. Christ is won. We're more than conquerors. To us, the church, has been given the privilege of announcing to the principalities and powers that be that a kingdom is come and Satan's power has been broken. Sinners can be forgiven. They can be reconciled back to an offended God. They can be justified. They can be sanctified. They can be redeemed. And God's Spirit that Adam and Eve lost through rebellion can be put back in man's heart. And fellowship with the Father can be restored again. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Now that's kind of an excited way for a Bible teacher to preach, isn't it? You see, you get excited like that in my college classroom.
Yeah, I do.
If it's worth teaching, it's worth getting excited about. If you're here tonight and you are not a child of God, you can be. You did not come here by accident. You've been had. You were drawn here by the Spirit of the living God who loved you so much that in spite of your misery and your rottenness and your rebellion and your self-centeredness, Christ went to the cross for you. The innocent dying for the guilty. But if you'll come to Christ tonight and say yes to Him, He'll blot that guilt out. He'll take your penalty and mark it, paid in full, stamp paid in full, and hang it for the world to see, and put a new nature within you. The love and the nature of Christ. And you can leave here tonight with a new life. It's called being born again. You see, if you're born but once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll only die once. You can have it tonight. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus. We realize this has been a long service, but it's been good, Father, and we praise You for it. Don't let a man, a woman, a boy or girl leave this meeting tonight without the Spirit of God dealing with their heart, Father. We don't want to see anyone lost. We're tired of the devil stealing and robbing and killing and destroying what Christ has provided for mankind through the cross and the resurrection. My God, speak peace to their heart tonight. Let them see what I was, 13 years, a good person, a religious person, but lost, and then I met Jesus. Father, may they say yes to the Son of God tonight. Set them free just like You set every one of us free. All our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Friend, if you're here, you're not a child of God tonight, but you want to be free. Sin is your master. You're bound. You can't help it. And you want to be free of that. I know someone that can set you free. Just let us know where. Just slip up your hand wherever you are and say, "Preacher, that's me. Sin has got me captive tonight. I want to be set free. A desire is in my heart. I want to be free tonight." In Jesus' name. Is there one? Let me do it like this. How many of you already know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? But if you died right now, you've got to go to heaven because no one else wants you. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I get to minister to you again, I want to pick up on the rest of these. Show you how Noah had to use this in his daily work. Will the whole scientific community saying the earth is flat and that's that? Can you imagine what Abraham and Sarah went through? 75 years old, and God says, "Believe me and I'll give you a son." His wife laughs in his face, says, "We are beyond the pleasures of life." She's saying, "You're senile old coot, you're over the hill." They had the same battles you have. And an interesting thing is every one of these people in Hebrews, not one of them got an instant anything. Enoch walked with God 365 years. Moses was on an 80-year plan. Noah, 120 years, and after God locked up in the boat 7 days, no rain. Joseph, 430 years before his bones left Egypt. Abraham, 25 years. At 100, Sarah gives birth. You imagine the problem she had checking in the hospital and filling out the insurance form? Wow. Same problems you have. But you know why they pleased God? They had the ability to hold on. They hung in there. They confessed it would happen even when the world laughed at them. They did not lose their hope. They said, God said it. It's mine. And it will happen. You can see your families come to Christ. If you've got a husband that's not serving God, no problem. Set him up. God will get him. Some of you parents got children or grandchildren not serving God. They don't stand a chance with God on your side. And problem is, don't lose hope. Gladys and I never saw a break in her family for 15 years after they threw us out. Probably just a few months. Excuse me. Probably just a few months, the whole family came to Jesus. Must stand to our feet, shall we? Glory to God. How many of you have had church today?
Amen.
You had it this morning, this afternoon, tonight, and a dozen of you in between. So we're not going to keep you tonight. Now, you're not going to go home and go to sleep. That's what carnal folk do. You're children of the Most High God. You can go lay on a bed and get in a position because God speaks to you in visions and dreams, and you get in a position where God can speak to you should he so desire.
Amen.
We're so glad you're here. I'm so glad for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, where you don't have to confine the Word of God to an accepted pattern of denominational criteria, where we can break loose from dead traditionalism, which doesn't really get the job done. And I don't say this for Glenn. I've known him for many, many years. We go back 15, maybe 20 years. When he left the full gospel book table, he sold me all of his telex equipment. I remember once he tried to buy it back, but I won't sell it. But I've watched the growth. I've watched the change in him. Watched the brokenness. God's not done yet. When our brother saw the glory of the Lord in him tonight, it's going to increase. It's going to get great. You want to have God's best, let your mouth be filled with praise. Cut out your criticism. Start praising. Start worshiping. And you're going to see Jesus begin to walk through your life in a measure you have never known him before. I think we ought to lift our hands, will you? And I want us to sing a chorus tonight. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his power he has raised me. With his blood he has saved. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. There's just one word that's coming. I'm too tired for more. But our sister back here with the black hair with a bluish purple black dress for you. Now, you stay right there. God does that, whether it's up here or down there. Now, I don't remember. Were you here in that fall last? Because I didn't remember seeing you. You go here? Is this your home fellowship? Oh, you come here. Okay. Because what I saw just came like that. What I've been teaching on tonight, the desire to worship, been a real desire in your heart. Has that not been true? But you haven't been able to get it out. Others can get so expressive, like Revelation 19. But it's been a deep, deep reservoir within you. And here's what the Lord is saying tonight. That deposit of God's word that's in your heart is going to begin to burst forth and come forth. forward. And although you've held yourself within because it's been your nature, it's been your culture, it's the way you've been brought up, God says, I'm going to change that. You're going to come into the holy with me, into the sanctuary. And without fear of embarrassment, you're going to shut yourself in as though another person around watching. And the fear and the intimidation will go, and you're going to find a flow of God's worship begin to flow through you. And there's going to be a powerful result in your family. The immediate result is going to start in your family. I see some scattered joints coming together. And that's going to be the thing. And God's going to let you know because of this. And it will increase and it will get great. Now all of your life has been bottled. But now it's going to open. You say, how can I be sure? Here's a girl that's known me since I was 13 years old. I never laughed in my life until I was 26 when I baptized in the Spirit. I grew up in a French Indian culture. Well, you didn't. I couldn't tell her I loved her if the lights are on. You don't kiss babies, you whip them. If I stepped on a nail in my ankle that came out my ear, I had another whopping come if I cried. Men don't do that. How are you going to warp your personality? Now look what Jesus has done. When we used to go door to door as Jehovah's Witnesses, she'd start the talking and I'd start singing to get courage enough to start arguing. Once the argument was going, I was ready to go. God changed that. He's going to do it for you. Going to blossom and flow in praise and adoration. Go with it and enjoy it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You just want to dismiss us or what? Okay. Get a hold of someone's neck. Find a stranger. Love them. Hug them. Enjoy them. And we'll see you in the morning.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I enjoyed that.
Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.